Hey, good morning, East Point. Good to see you guys. If you're watching online, glad to have you wherever you're at. Part of our church family, we love you guys and are glad that we're getting closer and closer to this thing going away. So, all right, I won't say any more because I'll get in trouble if I say any more. So, I'm excited. Someday I'm going to see your faces, someday soon, and that'll be good. So, just a quick thing. Wally and Patty Camp on the video that you saw for our generosity moment. Wally's one of our elders, and I just want to say thank you to him and to Patty. They have demonstrated, yeah. They have demonstrated just this duo, this dynamic duo of ministry to our church body in multiple capacities in ways you may never even be aware of, in their one-on-ones and their connections with different groups, whether it's recovery or whether it's just leading a group of women as Patty does. And they are part of a larger team of elders and their wives who are doing the same thing. I got to say, we are going to get them up here soon enough so that you can, again, see who our elders and their wives are, their families. They're part of our church body. They help lead. They oversee. And one of the things that we're doing on the 23rd next week, we are planning to appoint Scott Lyons as an elder. And if you have any concerns, we say this every time we appoint someone. If you have any concerns, just email me at scott@eastpoint.church so that we can be aware of, you know, anything that you might just want to question regarding any candidate that comes up for elder. Very important for us because we trust these appointed guys for the body of Christ, and I just want to tell you how grateful I am to them, and just want to also remind you of the Learn, Go, and Tell conference next Saturday, where you can come and grab a couple of tools to learn how to share your faith better and then go out with people on the streets of Greater Portland. And our team, Kurt and his outreach team, the prayer team, other members of the team are going to just lead forward in that. So come next week. You can register online. And it starts at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, goes till about 3 in the afternoon. Even if you can't stay for the whole thing, they would want you to come. I want you to come. It's a good experience to do that as well. Hey, let me pray for us. Let me pray for this body and what Jesus is doing among us. And then we're going to dive right into our sixth message from our Restore series. Father God, we thank you so much for, first of all, I just want to say the generosity of your church family as we witnessed and listened to what Patty and Wally had to share. Lord, we confess to you that you are the giver of everything. And we love you for that. We thank you for all the provision that you have given to us to allow this church family to be and to become what you want us to be. We are not even finished, not even close, and we know you have more in store. So we just pray for your anointing over this whole body, for your favor on this church family and those who will be coming and finding their way to you, Lord Jesus, through so many different members of this body, as we share Jesus with other people. We look forward to seeing what you're going to do to transform the landscape of Greater Portland for your name, for your glory. We lift you high today, Jesus. We know that you said when you are lifted up, you'll draw all men unto you. And we know that can refer to the cross, but we also know that when your name is lifted up, people are drawn to you. And so we lift your name today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get going. Turn to Matthew 13, verse 1. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat, and then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore, and he told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across his field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on the fertile soil, and when they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. His disciples came and asked him, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? So we'll talk about what a parable is in a moment, but this is one of the most famous of Jesus' parables. A lot of us know this story really well. We can even tell what it means. It's just been repeated so often. And it seems like anybody can understand it and get what Jesus is trying to share with us, but actually that's not true. And we'll see that he even says that's not true. Some hear it and they don't equate this parable with anything more than just some good farming advice. But the disciples asked, why do you use parables? And the word parable means putting things side by side. And in the case of this, Jesus is taking his truth and putting it alongside something familiar. But almost every time, if not every time, he brings a challenge that changes our lives alongside of the parable. There's a lesson to be learned. And this is a pretty specific lesson. And let me just share with you, I want so much as we move through the teaching of Jesus to become acquainted with Jesus. That's the deal. To know him, follow his teaching. If you and I refuse to follow his teaching, there is a lot at stake. A lot. And so it's walking with him, following him, getting to know him in every capacity that we speak of through classes or groups. I don't care what the manner is that we, but finding our way to knowing him is going to be so important all the way through. This is not just an exercise to learn more about Jesus. It is to know him. We exist to know God, find freedom, and engage community and share a story. And knowing Jesus is just allowing for all the rest of those things to happen. That's exactly why we do what we do. I love learning about Jesus. I was reading more about him yesterday, and I'll share more about that later on. But let me look at what is actually happening with you. Jesus quotes Isaiah the prophet regarding those who may hear but are not actually listening. And so look at verse 15. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And so Jesus is saying to those who are eager to hear that many people before you, including the prophets who spoke about my coming, they long to be where you are. If he's talking to his disciples or whatever, the group of people that are surrounding him, that people long to be in the presence of the Messiah. And here they are, right in the presence of the Messiah, hearing what he has to say and being able to take it at face value and apply it. God is telling Isaiah, though, that Jesus' ministry of sharing God's word is going to save some, and it's going to harden the hearts of others. Some are going to hear and have their hearts stirred, and the parables of Jesus will bring clarity. But for others, when they hear the word of God, their time has run out because their stubbornness prevails. And every time they hear the word of God beyond certain points, their heart becomes even harder. And maybe you know people like that, people who say, please leave that discussion outside this house, or don't talk to me about what, I mean, some people describe it this way, just back off, okay? And the more that they say back off and the less that we get to speak, the harder their heart can become. And sometimes they just never do turn and hear what Jesus has to say or see what Jesus wants them to see. And so if you hear one thing this morning that's important to me, it would be that you would be asking the Holy Spirit to just pour out like crazy on the people around you that you love so much that they need to hear the gospel in order to have their souls saved so that they can have the eternal life that you and I are promised. But that's what we need to do, is just keep praying and praying and praying. God, may your spirit break down the soil in their hearts. We're going to talk about that. We just have to see God move. Because some are saying, hey, you know what? It's just not for me. I'm not submitting myself to that word of God that you speak about. And Jesus says, for if they really heard or really saw, I would turn and I'd heal them. I'd heal their soul. In other words, the teaching of God is going to be the aroma of life to some and the stench of death to others. So just like with Isaiah, the parables of Jesus will keep some in the dark. They won't understand, not because of their lack of intellect, but because of their inability to hear Jesus' truth in their heart, because that kind of hearing requires a humility, does it not? If you're going to hear what God has to say to you to make alterations or me and change my life, does it not require a humble heart to let him do that? And people in our culture today have a hard time with humility, a hearing that removes stubborn pride or breaks our heart wide open, and we need to have our hearts broken wide open in this culture that needs to know that our life depends on Jesus. Our life depends on Jesus. Our life depends on Jesus. Our joy depends on Jesus. Our love depends on Jesus. Our hope depends on Jesus. Our peace depends on Jesus all the time, every day, all the time, all the time. And we know that our eternal life depends on Jesus too, and we're not talking just fire insurance here. We're talking joy. And an eternal life that we can't even hardly comprehend. We just can't comprehend. Although we look at the world around us and we go, wow, how can it get better than this in terms of its beauty and its wonder and its majesty? But God has more. So pure and simple, this farming analogy is a very practical teaching about hearing the word of God and the humble acceptance of what we hear with our heart. And in this case, Jesus says our hearts are like soil types, and three out of the four aren't good. Three out of the four hearers won't receive the message. Three out of the four soils produce little or nothing. So Jesus is saying, one out of the four, listen well, and they hear what I have to say. And this could be like a teacher getting up in front of the class saying, 75% of you are going to fail. Not very comforting. But the receptivity in our heart of a statement such as that, does it cause us to rise and say, I'm going to be one of the 25% that passes? I'm going to be one of the people who find my way through and don't cave in to defeat. I'm not going to say, what's the use in trying? I'm just going to fail anyway. No. You see, this isn't about your abilities alone anyway, or what you can earn or not do or not do. This is about the wonderful grace of Jesus that comes alongside of our heart that's humbly surrendered to him. That's a different deal. And so we got to humble our heart, because sometimes the most simple of messages that he has to share, kind of like what Busy shared from the platform this morning when she said, hey, I just want you to know God loves you. And sometimes when people hear that little phrase, for a lot of us, it's go, oh, yeah, I know that. But for a few people, when we say God loves you, it just zeroes right in on the core of who you are. And his Holy Spirit just penetrates your heart. And maybe you're flooded and overwhelmed with the presence of God, because you just needed to hear so desperately today that God loves you. Maybe that's what you needed. Let me remind you of countless people in Jesus' ministry who heard and received his words. Countless people among us as well. And it wasn't just a particular demographic who received his message. There were prostitutes, and there were military leaders and mothers and fathers and cheaters and swindlers and religious leaders and tens of thousands of Jews and Gentiles and millions of people today who have heard the words of Jesus and received them. And there are millions more that will receive. And in these last days, these are called the last days. And you can see, can't you, that where evil is rising. The Bible says goodness is right there with it, or it's put a different way, but you see, wow, there's a war going on for the souls of men and women and children. So here they are, these three very simple descriptions. All of us can get what Jesus is saying. None of us have to miss it. So the first is the footpath people. In verse 4, Jesus says, this is the seed that fell on the hard footpath along the edge of the field, and the birds came and quickly ate it up. And sometimes if you think about old-time gardening and fields, there are hard footpaths between fertile rows, yes? Like you can see the plants coming up, but right in between there's a hard footpath, which kind of indicates that there can be two types of people in the same room hearing the same message, and some seed is going to fall on fertile soil and grow up, and other seed is going to fall on the hard footpath. And if you think about a hard footpath or a path around the outside edge of a field where a farmer walks and it's trampled down, how many know when it gets dry, that ground cracks, and sometimes a seed can fall into a crack and take root. But in this case, Jesus is saying, before the seed even can fall into the crack, it's like Satan's demons, like birds, swoop down on the path, pluck the seed, take it away. You don't even have a chance to get started. That's how quickly the seed is taken away. I mean, it's thrown out there on the field, but it's snatched up by the enemy, his ability to sometimes impose doubt or cynicism or complete rejection, or for some, a debilitating sense of unworthiness. This is what's really amazing to me, is some people feel so unworthy, they don't even allow themselves to accept the grace of Jesus. And they say that people over 16, it's way harder for a person to come to Jesus when they're past the age of 16 than for those who are under the age of 16. And I'm here to say, let's change that. Let's reverse that. Let's give people the grace of Jesus that they need to hear. And let them know, you aren't unworthy. You are so much like me. We are so much like each other. We are the same. And it's the same grace that applies regardless of your level or feeling of unworthiness. Yes? We got to tell people that, because a lot of people are feeling so cruddy in their life and in their spirit, they don't even feel worthy to accept the grace of Jesus. The footpath is hard. It's hard from all traffic. And so this is a good question to ask now. What kind of traffic moves across your heart that puts you at risk of developing hard-heartedness or a stubborn refusal to yield? Before the seed has even had a chance to blow around and find that crack, and Satan's demons come in and just snatch it away, what kind of traffic is walking across your heart? And here's the question, I'll put it up on the screen. Who or what are you allowing to walk all over your heart that's making it so hard? Who are you allowing to make your heart hard? Or what? We'll pull that back in and surrender it to Jesus. You take every thought captive and give it to Jesus so that your heart isn't hard and that you don't allow people to trample on you. Is it people pressure or fear pressure making you afraid you're going to miss out on the world's fun? Is it a fear of failure? Is it lies from the enemy or something in your past that you have allowed to harden your heart toward God, or whatever the circumstance has made you, something has made you angry at God? Maybe it's a struggle to bring knowledge and faith together. Maybe science and higher education has hardened your heart toward an understanding of the miraculous. I wonder about that sometimes. That we can't even believe in the miraculous any longer. Everything has to be proven. We have to have a list of statistics and intellectual teaching. And it's like, wow, no, you know what? Jesus is still in the business of the miraculous. One day we're going to see greater things. And he told us we'd do greater things. So here's what I'd like you to do right now while you're sitting right where you are. As we ask the question, what's trampling all over your heart? Ask God to send his Holy Spirit right now and soften your heart right now. Ask God to send his Spirit right now. You just pray that prayer while I'm talking and just go right to the Lord right now with that. Ask him to soften your heart right now. Ask him to break up the soil of your heart right now. Ask him to just break up the rocky pieces, any the hard soil. Just ask him. Ask him now. Just let him come. So the second kind of hearer that Jesus mentions is the shallow soil or rocky ground people. In Israel, there's this substratum of limestone in some places covered with a thin layer of soil, and not just in Israel, that's about anywhere in the world you can find that, plants that spring up quickly, and many wither because they can't establish a root system. So the sun comes out and beats directly on the plants that spring up so quickly, and they die. And so this is for people who hear the truth of Jesus often with joy. I mean, it's not that it's wrong. You're hearing what's happening out there. It comes with joy and sometimes with an emotional tug on your heart that just convicts you or maybe moves you to tears. That's all possible. But it only goes as deep for some people in this circumstance as our temporary emotions allow. We may even get baptized, but there's no root after that. Please understand, it's not that the message was false or the emotional tug was false. Everything that happened to you was real, but then there was no nurturing, there was no deepening, there was no cultivating and fertilizing and coming around and creating the atmosphere for a deeper root system. And the rocky soil just stayed right where it was, and the plant never had a chance to grow deeper into your life. And I got to tell you, we live off of temporary euphoria from time to time, don't we? In the spiritual world, like you come into a worship service and you go, wow, this is so great. I love this so much. And it just moves your heart so much. And we feel like that's enough gas or enough steam to get me through the week. But it's not, right? It's just, we know it's not. And so as the word of God is received quickly, it's dropped just as fast when it becomes too difficult or inconvenient to be a follower of Jesus. Other shallow soil people are those who sit week after week hearing, but always thinking it's for somebody else. Like, I wish my sister could be here to hear that. I wish my boss, I got to send my boss the link to this message because he needs to hear that. Actually, it's for you. It's for me. We have to pull this in together. That's who we are. And the decision to follow Jesus can sometimes result in attending, but not hearing. And sometimes it makes it sound like following Jesus is only about Sunday mornings, and that's not even close. Here's what we say on Tuesday night prayer meeting, when we have prayer meeting at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night, we say this night is the most important night of the week, the most important day of the week. It's more important than Sundays because we're seeking God together. We're deepening our well of the soil of our life is getting richer. And it's not that Sundays are unimportant, but there's a lot of attendees in the field of Christianity. And the soil's not often very deep. And so we come to Sunday morning, it's like a cheerleading session, a pep talk. We're coaching a little bit. Go out there and give it your best. Hey, Sundays aren't going to get you into that relationship. It's more than that. So the roots are shallow, and when trouble comes, and we know it does, there's not much to keep the plant from being blown right over. And how quickly it happens. So the third type of the hearer that Jesus speaks about, this is the number three, is the thorn patch people. And I'll read directly what Jesus says about the seed that falls among the thorns, because it's so easy to understand just the way Jesus describes it. Here it is in verse 22. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. And man, a lot of people land right here. It's not hard to grasp the worries and riches and pleasures of this life that just crowd us out. How many get it right away? You don't even have to question what this means. This is good seed that falls on our hearts, competing with the weeds and the thorn bushes in the world. Even though there are some flowers produced along with the bad seed, there's not much. Actually, there's no fruit that comes out of this soil. Nothing comes from it. You see, what happens when weeds or low-growing vines or thorn bushes are allowed to take over so much, it just sucks the nutrients from the soil, right? I mean, how many of us know full well what it's like to have a garden? How many gardeners out here just do it, love it? And some of you are excellent and some of us are not. And we get the garden all set up, we till the soil, and the dirt looks fantastic. The little plants are all in a row and we water it. It just looks absolutely perfect. And then sometimes what happens in my family is we get the garden planted and then we go on vacation. And then we come back, and it looks like a bomb went off. Like, what happened to my tender little plants? What happened? Because everything, the things that we went for pleasure, I mean, vacations are good, but nobody was there to weed our garden. We understand that. And the reasons include as many excuses as we have time to list. As anything we can think of that crowds out Jesus in our life. So these are the thorn patch people. We're the busy ones, too many commitments, not enough time, too many distractions. And often it's not even bad stuff. It's not always evil stuff that competes for our lives in relationship with Jesus. That's not what it is. I mean, how many know some weeds are really pretty? True? I mean, so you look at it, you think, why do we spend so much money trying to kill those beautiful yellow flowers that pop up in our yard? And then they do two things. They're yellow, and then they turn into this cool little poof, you know, and we spend millions, billions of dollars trying to get those out of our yard, and God just floods fields with them. And we say, I hate them. You know, we're saying, what's wrong with this picture? I mean, some weeds are actually beautiful, but they will just suck up the nutrients in the soil. Or if a vine works its way through and wraps around, we know what it does. It just chokes the life. In fact, Jesus talks about the thorns in life. And when I'm going to call the thorns the evil things in our life. And what I mean by that is the sin that needs to be dealt with that we aren't dealing with. And so we don't have to guess what that is in our life because we already know it. And so if there's something in our life that's sin that we know needs to be rooted out or dug up or killed, we need to deal with that. Otherwise, the thorns of that evil piece in our life are going to choke us out, render us absolutely ineffective. Jesus said worries in this life also contribute to choking us out. And without hesitation, how many of us feel worry choking the life out of us? And man, I mean, there are a lot of things going on. I could tell you so many stories from people that I've heard just recently of things that are just plaguing them, that are consuming them. And it's not that we can't be necessarily consumed with some big thing in our life. It's what we do with that piece that matters, right? It's do we surrender it? Just this morning, God, I feel like he spoke to my heart on an issue and he said, do you trust me? And I have to say, yes, I want to so much. I want to give everything over to you. But in my own intellect, I want to manage situations myself. I want my outcome, not necessarily God's. How many know what that's like? We go, oh my goodness, we just think over and over and over again of the things we want to take care of. And Jesus is saying the worries of this life will choke us out. We've heard the passage before from Matthew 6:25. He says, that is why I tell you not to worry about every day whether you have enough food and drink or even enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And what does he tell us to do instead? Down to verse 33, he says, seek the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Above all else, and live righteously, he'll give you everything you need. He'll give you strength beyond strength. He'll allow us to still be fruitful in the middle of turmoil and struggle and the things that so many people get incapacitated by. And there are a lot of people who have been incapacitated by their worries. To worry is a contradiction of our very hope and faith in Jesus. Let me say that again. To worry is a contradiction of our very hope and faith in Jesus. So we should pray for each other on that, eh? Yes, I'll pray for you. You pray for me that we just cast worry aside and put trust and hope in Jesus because he is our hope. He is our trust. I read yesterday that Jesus gives us our righteousness. We don't earn it. We don't get it from anywhere. It's him. He gives it to us. And in the same way, he gives us the peace that passes understanding in the middle of these crummy storms. But we just have to rely on him. Just grab him by the hand and walk with him. So this is the final type. The fertile soil people. This is the one out of four types that allows for the seed to fall deep within our heart and take root in the soil of our soul. And there is patience and there is humility and there is forgiveness to deal with the sense of unworthiness or whatever we might be fighting. And there is much, 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 much grace. We're saved by grace. Through what?
Faith.
And this is not of ourselves. It's a gift. When we're saved by grace, much grace, that much grace then can be poured out on other people. So you don't say the things you can never take back. Ooh, we don't even want to look at that, do we? Because the stacks of things are so high, of things we wish we never would have said. But much, much grace has been given to you and me. To him who's been given, much is required. And then Jesus says when we surrender to him more, when we trust him more, when the fertile soil is the soil that our hearts are growing richer and deeper in, he'll give us even more. In verse 23, he says, the seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. So this is the only soil that produces the kind of fruit Jesus speaks of. It's not hard to grasp. You hear the word of God through an honest heart that takes an inventory of what's being said about our life, and then we do an honest evaluation to determine whether or not we can do it all ourselves or whether we should rely on Jesus, the one who can do through us what he wants to accomplish. And if we really believe the words of God are life-giving and life-changing words, then as a result of pure conviction, we take note of all that should be changed, fully recognizing that we ourselves, by ourselves, cannot make these changes. There's a desire that has to happen where we partner with Jesus. Man, I love that. I love partnering with Jesus. I don't have to do this by myself. I don't have to get it all figured out. I can trust him more. I can give myself more over to him, and he will walk with me. Remember last week we said, or 2 weeks ago, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's so we can work in tandem with Jesus. Apples are the evidence that a tree is alive. But it's alive because the roots grow down deep into the soil. And so the fruit of our life comes as the evidence of our relationship that's deep with Jesus. Same analogy. So we need to do whatever we can to help the seed of God's word really grow germinate and become the fruit that he anticipates coming out of who we are so we can share this good news with other people and to hold each other accountable. So our rooted class or our starting point class or a life group, they're far more important than what most people really consider because we need each other to hold each other accountable and walk in the truth of Jesus and express and share the love of Jesus. This is not just for our health. We're not just stating it for the sake of stating it. We're saying get to be and get to know people, gather with people who are like-minded so that your faith will increase and your journey in Jesus will grow stronger. That's what this is about. Come to Tuesday night prayer. There's nothing better in my mind than just coming together and praying. In our life group, we asked our small life group of 10 or 12 people, we said, hey, what would you like Jesus to say to you? What are you asking for? And so we prayed for each other around this one idea that we would hear from God the next week. And some of us did. Some of us heard him speak to our hearts or we read something. Someone said, I just want to be able to walk with Jesus and not leave him silent, but walk with him and talk to him and engage him. Somebody else said, I just want my chair time to be a place where I encounter him and know him and hear from him. And so we're just asking for the simple things. Hey, by the way, Matt Guerin, our children's pastor, couple weeks ago, he said to the little children in elementary age groups on the other side of the building, he said, hey, here's what I'd like you to do. I want you to pray right now and picture yourself walking with Jesus on a beach or in the woods, and what is it that Jesus would say to you? And we're going to come back and ask you what he said to you, and here's some of their responses. One little boy said Jesus told him to clean his room. Another little boy said, Jesus didn't say anything to me at all, but I knew he was with me. It's really cool for a child, isn't it? How insightful. Another little girl said, Jesus said, you are my princess. And there were several other statements. And so one of the questions for you this morning is, what is Jesus saying to you? What if you could imagine him saying anything? If you're walking on the beach yourself, you ought to do that today. Just if you can't go to the beach and walk, which is a nice day to do it, but imagine yourself there and see what Jesus is saying. It won't be, what did you do? It won't be, remember what you said? I don't think so. I think for some of us, Jesus would say, I've been waiting for you. I've been waiting for you a long time. I've been waiting to hear from you. And for some of us, it would be just what we said way earlier. Jesus would say, I just love you so much. And he might get far more specific. During my time when our group was praying for me last week, and I said, I want that yoke is easy feeling with Jesus. I want to know that. And so our group prayed for me last week that I would hear just like I prayed for them. And so I was staring out my window, which I often do when I pray in my own personal chair time. And I heard Jesus speaking to my heart. And I think this is what he said. What do you see? And I saw a glimpse of a horizon and a sunset. And I thought, wow, I see your beauty and your majesty. And at that very moment, I felt like he said, my kingdom's coming. And then he didn't let up, though. He said, this is what I'm not saying it was audible. It wasn't. But this is the prompting of my heart. I felt like he said, again, what do you see? And immediately I looked at our entire neighborhood. And so I saw all the houses and I saw the people and the people I've been praying for years. And then just yesterday, one of my neighbors comes around the corner, somebody I've spoken of in the past, and he says, hey, you told me you were going to be talking about Romans. When are you doing that? He goes, I really would like to learn about Romans, more about Romans. I said, that'll be in the fall. He goes, can you watch it online? He said, yes. He goes, but I'm sure you want me to come. And I said, yeah, whatever, whatever you want to do. But it was so cool. Just those connections, you see? We're just asking God would speak to us. What do you want me to hear from you? Let me pray for us, and we'll close this morning. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that we can be the fourth soil type, the fertile soil, and that soil comes by our personal relationship with you. That if we just link our hearts and hands, our minds with you, if we really do read your word every day and pray to you and develop this relationship that isn't just Sunday only, because we know it's not about that, but that we develop something that is personal and rich and whole and complete, and recognize that apart from you, we can do nothing, and apart from you, we really aren't much at all. But with you, we're everything. With you, you work through us. You bring peace and joy and love. You bring, you help us pull our temperaments down when we are feeling so irritable, or when we just don't know what's going to happen with a certain situation. And because we don't know, we're anxious. And you said, come to me. Just come to me. And so we come to you. We praise you for all that you have explained to us in this parable. We know how true it is. It's not hard to understand. I pray that you would allow the simplicity of the teaching to penetrate our soul so deeply that it moves us into a place of wanting to hear from you. In Jesus' name, in your name, we pray. Amen.